than murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Well, it is the first episode of The Call of the new year. Happy 2019. And thankfully, it is not a season wrap-up. Where did it all go wrong? The Ravens are heading to the playoffs. And not only that, the Ravens are hosting a game in Baltimore this Sunday. So joining me, as always, talking all about it, it's my buddy Josh. What's going on, man?
Brandon, happy new year. Happy Festivus Maximus. How you doing, my friend?
I am feeling good. It's a good way to start 2019 with those Ravens on top, Kings of the North. Man, what an exciting time to be a Ravens fan. It is insane. The town is just painted purple. You could tell people have waited so many years for some January football, and it's finally back. I mean, it's a good time to be a Ravens fan.
It sure is, man. And what better way to do it than exercise those demons of what happened last year, man? I mean, wow. I mean, I'm still lost for words of the whole situation, because it's just, to me, how the season has gone and what the Ravens have endured, who would have thought we'd be in this spot? And granted, I know and we'll definitely talk about it because it's at the forefront, but you know, the implosion of the Steelers pretty much literally, helped us out a little bit. But, dude, winning 6 of 7 games down the stretch, my prediction held through. You know, we should have beat the Chiefs, right? So we are right there, but I knew that was the lone loss, or I predicted this much, and it was. So how about the Ravens really technically running the table with the rookie backup? It's just unheard of, man. Like, this story, it seems like, I know they're not marching in Atlanta right now. They got to win some games here, but it's like the whole win the Super Bowl year, the 4th-and-29 play, and you know, everything, all that. Just like some of those things, the Mahi Miracle that year, you know, some things happen to where you're just like, what if, man? Like, it's just one of those, it's a story that, you know, whatever the Ravens decide to do in these playoffs this year, you can't take away from the year. I mean, we're AFC North champs. You knocked out the it was all in one. I was like, how could you get a more satisfying win other than basically a Super Bowl win? You know, you beat the other Ohio team instead of the Bengals. It's the Browns at home. You know, it's old Cleveland versus new Cleveland, if you even want to go that far. It's Ozzie Newsome, all the tie-ins, you know, and pretty much knowing that Pittsburgh already won their game, the Ravens couldn't have to have happen what happened last year, you know. The whole fourth down stop, you stop them, and the Ravens are in the playoffs. But this year had a little bit different taste to it, did it not? Because of the division was on the line and that home playoff game, and to knock out the Steelers out of playoffs and get the AFC North Championship from them, everything was on the line, and the Ravens proved.
And like you said, the Ravens went 6 for 7. I'll admit it. I absolutely had no faith that they could do that.
Neither. I'll be honest with you. But neither did I. I mean, we've covered it, but really, who saw this coming?
Yeah, it's insane to think about that, the fact that they were able to do that, especially with an unproven rookie QB. I mean, Joe Flacco has been the staple for this team for so many years. The fact that it's not him leading the charge later on in the season, I mean, I don't would have believed you if you would have told me that in the offseason that would have happened. So, crazy end to the season. The Cleveland Browns, man, let me tell you, looking forward just into the future, You got to give these guys major credit. They are going to be a thorn in the Ravens' side for many years to come. This is a good team. This is a team that has a lot to prove. They have a great QB, and it could have gone either way. Luckily, it went the Ravens' way, but the Cleveland Browns, they kept you there until the end of the game. They took every chance that they got, and man, I mean, I'm very happy that the Ravens were able to come out with a win, but Cleveland didn't make it easy. They did not roll over. This is a brand new Cleveland team that years and years to come, it's going to be hard to get past them.
It is, man. And I've told some Cleveland Browns fans before even the game started, I said, hey, you guys are going to give us everything and then some, because I have a feeling, I mean, we've seen it coming where they obviously they beat us the first game with a different, you know, whole different dynamic. And, you know, and the Ravens could have won that game, so could the Browns. And obviously they did prove at the end with a few seconds on the clock in overtime. But, you know, the Ravens and Browns were in the same position, winning four out of the last five games. It was all setting up, you know, perfectly and, you know, for this kind of scenario. But you have to go look at what they did. You know, if it wasn't for a virtue of amazing, if they had a kicker in the beginning of the year, the Browns kind of probably be chasing first for the division title. That could have been a division title game. You know, who knows the scenario? But looking at, you know, the overall body work, the Browns went from 0-16 last year to 7-7-1. And if they had beaten us and knocked us out of playoffs, they would have finished above 500. Obviously, the tie would have helped that. So it's just, man, you know, Baker, you know, there it is. And like Baker alluded to at the end of the game, he's excited because him and Lamar, he said that we're going to be facing each other for a long time in this division, and he's ready for it. So, and we already know Lamar, you know, whether it's you wanted it last year, this year, by way of virtue of fate, it happened. And Lamar Jackson is actually going to be starting a home playoff game, and not only not even a home playoff game, but he's going to be starting a playoff game just like Joe Flacco did all those years ago, coming full circle, and he's going to be the second Raven to do it under center, and he's actually going to be the youngest quarterback to do it, beating, obviously, who he's compared to is Mike Vick. But I love the I don't like the comparison because, again, like Mike Vick said, he's trying to be the first and one and only Lamar Jackson, you know, but comparisons are great, but we'll let those be aside. But, dude, man, like, just the last few weeks, you know, from the Chargers game on Christmas weekend, that was huge, man, coming off that kind of win. We're a dominant 10-point, you know, allowance on defense and stopping, you know, the air assault with Phillip Rivers and getting in his face and get pressure to beating, you know, the Bucks and then coming home and doing it again. So it's just everything was coming together, man. And just how about this team? Just the resilience of, you know, coming out of 4-5 hole, 3-game losing streak, turning around, rookie quarterback, running game. It's just unreal, man, with these heroes. But you know what's been the unsung factor here that, and no one's really talking about?
What's that?
The fact that this team is probably the healthiest I can ever remember a Ravens team, playoff team or not. Mm-hmm. I don't remember a team from Baltimore being this healthy, man. Like, it's ridiculous. I think even the Super Bowl year we had, like, a good handful of players on IR. There was one year where we had like 20 players on IR.
I remember that, yeah.
The Ravens have not made a roster move since beginning of December. That's how healthy they've been. They didn't have to send somebody down or call somebody up like they always. No, it's been all men, all hands on deck, all healthy. Rather, you know, you have a few tweaks here and there because of the games, but you never have that season-ending injury or somebody going down other than Joe. But obviously Joe came back healthy, so it wasn't season-ending. So Ravens are all healthy right now, and that's just the best thing right now that no one's really talking about. And I think it's fantastic, man. It goes to show you that, excuse me, this year the Ravens are taking care of business in the training room. You know, they're taking care of themselves. You know, whatever's attributing to this versus not. I mean, there is some luck to play. Obviously, some freak accidents happen on the field, but dude, they're playing great and they're playing healthy.
They are, and the regular season, it was a roller coaster for the Ravens, but that last game, it came down to the defense having to hold strong, and C.J. Mosley came up with the big interception. The place I was at went nuts. I got to see you going crazy for about 4 seconds, because you went on your Facebook, and you went live, and for about 4 seconds, I got to see you going nuts in the stands. But
and my phone died. I was like, I was going to keep going and like show everybody the celebration. But I was like, but that was after. Before I get to my reaction, because I'm going to tell you this. I want to hear yours, but since you asked me and saw me about mine, I'll finish the story. So that was after I calmed down. Okay, so I ended up in the road behind me. You know how I go. Not surprised. I'll tell you this. For some reason, when the game's on the line, I get down. I can't. I get nervous. I do the same. I did the same thing I did during Super Bowl. It's like I can't. And I mean, I looked at the end of the game and the aftermath, and I'm like, yeah, I wish I was on my feet, fourth down, and like yelling and screaming. I was, but for the first two downs, but third down and fourth down on that stand, I hit the ground. I hit the concrete, and both like, and I don't think you've seen it a little bit, but I hit the ground and I had to get on my knees. I was hunched over the chair in front of me. I was like banging on it. I was screaming, yelling, but I couldn't stand up. I was like, I really was on the verge of like excitement versus like, I'm going to get sick. Like, cause I'm like, dude, if they win, we got knocked out of playoffs. I'm like, I'm going to go like change my name, go to like move away and like come back like 6 months later because I don't want to deal with this again 2 years in a row. So I'm like, what do I do? So, like, breath of fresh air happened. It was, you know, incomplete, fourth down. Brandon, when he said, when the announcer goes, it's fourth down, and everybody's just going nuts. Dude, I wasn't to be negative in that moment, but as soon as that happened, I'm thinking, dude, I remember last year when he said it's fourth down, and I was standing up going nuts, and I'm hugging everybody, and we're jumping up and down, like, playoffs, playoffs. And then you see Tyler Boyd take it, and you're like, what just happened? And you're just like looking around. So I'm like, I'm remembering that. I'm like, look, I'm not getting excited till it's done because I'm like, I've been through this before. So again, fourth down, everybody is around me standing up. And I'm like, I can still see the play, but I'm hunched over the chair in front of me on my knees, banging on it. And then I put my hands in like a prayer mode. And I was just like, please, 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 please. And I see Mayfield go back. Okay. And I didn't even know Mosley intercepted it. I had to like take it all in and find out he did. As soon as I saw one go be complete, I thought he batted it down. Dude, I like slouched over the chair in front of me and everybody's going nuts. And I got picked up and then I was like, I ended up in the road behind me slapping hands. And dude, I'm not kidding you. And I'm not afraid to say it because this is part of what I do. I was crying, dude, because I didn't know what to do. I'm like, are you kidding? Because it was like that release, Brandon. It was like, because like I said, I was on the verge of like, really, I thought I was going to vomit because I'm like, no, they cannot do this again. And then I'm thinking of in that moment when he says fourth down and maybe I had like 30 seconds to react, I kept thinking of all – and we'll break it down at the end of here. But I was thinking about all the opportunities that, man, they could have put this team away. Shouldn't have came in on this play. Oh, my God. And I'm like, I'm shaking. I don't know what to do. And, dude, I was slapping hands. And I'm like – I looked up into the heavens and I put both fists in the air. And I'm like, yes. And I'm just like screaming. And literally I'm like – I hugged my friends and I was all the people I tailgated with and all the season ticket holders around me. And dude, I was literally crying. I was like, it just like I was when we won with Ray Lewis here in 2012. You know, I was a different, you know, because we were sending Ray off and it was the last time I would see him play in that stadium. And it was a different feel, but it's the same way that, yeah, you know, people always like love it about me because I'm so wound up and passionate. But it was that release, and it came out of nowhere. I didn't expect to. I was just like trying to celebrate. I'm literally like, then I literally sat in that seat and I put my hands on my face, and I just like looked around. I'm like, and then you see the banner that says AFC North Champion and clinch, and I'm like, are you kidding me right now? Like, of all the crap that we dealt with this year covering this team and the quarterbacks and the 4-5 record and losing streaks and all the stupid plays and this and that and all the bickering and right now the Ravens are a playoff team. We're home playoff team, AFC North champions, and it was surreal. And I mean, my gosh, man, to hear that stadium erupt, loudest it's been all year. I wish that was every game, but unfortunately it wasn't. Calling everybody out for not being there this year, because that's how it should have been every year. Maybe would have had a few more. But, dude, the place was rocking. Dude, even going down, because they have the new escalators, even going down the whole system, it was like it would get quiet, and then somebody say something, and the whole place, the whole little corridor just started erupting. It was like everybody's like, yeah, and the whole oh chant, and everybody's high-fiving, hugging. I did see other people crying, too. It was just ridiculous, and I'm like, this is what it's all about, man. This is what it truly is all about. And the tailgate was off the hook too. Like, it was just had the energy. It was great. It just, yeah. I mean, my gosh, man. So that was my account of it live as I took it in. And I remember getting back to the car, and I literally just was like, I finally sat down, and it just all hit me, and I'm like, I felt like I played any games. I was exhausted. But it was just like, again, with all the weight, champions of the division, AFC North, obviously Kings of the North, knocking out the Steelers, which is probably one of the best perks right now, because me and you remember what it was like. Remember Christmas night 2 years ago, we're living that crap? Like,
yeah, I remember that.
Remember, we thought we had it. Kyle Juszczyk goes across the goal line. Me and you were going bananas. Jimmy's Famous Seafood is off the hook. And then we have that stupid extension over the goal line, and then we lose, and you're like, really? And then it's just – and then last year what happened, it was like – and then that's why I let out emotion of a cry, because of how I felt as a fan invested in that emotionally, that just – They're right there. And that's what I keep telling you on the shows all the time, and us talking back and forth is, yeah, we missed the playoffs, but how many times have they been right there? Where the Browns were 0-16 last year. They weren't even very close. They didn't win any games. So, you know, that's what I'm saying is the way sports talk radio is around here, you would think we were an 0-16 team once, because it's like we lose one game and it's fire everybody. We can't do this. We can't do that. But then they win. It's like, okay. All right. Yeah. So it's like, man, just – they were right there. I know we have had some bad breaks, but it was like that third. It's like that thing comes in threes, man. Third time's a charm. And wow. I can't even say AFC North champions, brother. And we brought home the belt, man. And I mean, I took so many notes along this week and so many things, but I want to get your accounts on, because I know you were away. You're in your favorite hot spot, probably down in Ocean City. I know that's like your home away from home, man. It seems like you're there every weekend. But take us through, you know, watching the clincher. Where were you? What were you doing? I've seen a lot of pictures throughout your adventures. How was it for you guys?
My favorite place to go in Ocean City is the Crab Bag. I absolutely love the Crab Bag in Ocean City for my Ravens games. However, the two games I was down there for, first game we went to, we watched it there. They were out of crabs, so basically they were just a bag.
All right, time out. I probably already harped on this before, but how can you be called the Crab Bag?
The Crab Bag.
How can you be called the Crab Bag and run out of freaking crabs?
I know.
Like, it's like Burger King going to order a burger. Oh, we're out of burgers. Like literally, like, who is this? April Fool's right now? Out of crabs?
The entire city, I think, was unprepared for Ravens fans and for it to be a New Year's weekend, because every place I went to last weekend ran out of some food or drink or whatever. So,
well, it's not like 10 degrees and snowing yet, so they need to get it together.
They do. So next,
come on, Ocean City.
For the Browns game, I was like, all right, let's call. Let's make sure Crab Bag has crabs. They did have crabs. However, they had about a two-hour wait to get a table.
Of course. So here you go.
So I hate the fact that the Ravens got flexed to 4 o'clock, because if it was a 1 o'clock game, it would have been fine, and we would have been able to get a spot. So
we knew that was coming.
Yeah.
Soon as it came down to the last game of the year, we all knew it was coming. I know some people hated it, some people liked it. I love the primetime game, so going to it, but that's me. But, yep, we knew it was coming.
So there's another place that's within walking distance from my beach house, and it's called Tail Chasers. We went there for a game.
Did they have tails?
They do. Well, they don't have they have fish. They have fish, and they're always chasing.
They didn't run
out? I'm getting to it. So so we get there.
I'm just excited.
And it says, you know, there's a hostess, and it says, please wait to be seated. So as a responsible adult, what did I do? I waited to get seated. So she's going to seat somebody upstairs and a group of like 20 or 30 people. And you got to remember, this is Ocean City. So it's not just Ravens fans there. There are Steelers fans.
Yeah.
There are Redskin fans. There are Philly fans. And all of their games are happening at the same time.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
So all these people come in and they're like, well, let's go sit at the bar. And they don't wait to get seated. They just go in and they start stealing tables. So, like, I'm like, well, I mean, you just had like 15 people go in. Do you have anything available? We got like one of the last tables upstairs. sort of in a view of a TV, but not really. So we got there. It was kind of like, you know, you had to squint to see whose number was on, who was having the play or whatever. But they had audio, they had video. So I'm like, all right, we're cool. They got specials. We're here for the long haul. So we get there and we're having some Orange Crushes. We're having some wings, some burgers. You know how it is, bar food, and the place is raucous. Yes, there are Philly fans there and Steeler fans and Redskin fans, but I want to say 80% are Ravens fans.
Right.
So it was loud. We get towards the end of the game and they're like, can we get you anything else? And I'm like, actually, I think we're going to do another round of wings. The bar ran out of wings. Like, that is like bar 101 for food. So
this is great. Every place you go to runs out of food.
So they ran out of wings. So I'm like, all right, so don't worry about it. So what am I drinking? $5 Orange Crushes. They're on special. She says, the bartender goes, sorry, we ran out of orange juice. So the bar ran out of orange juice. Like, orange juice is a very simple thing that you use in mixed drinks. It's not just Orange Crushes. It is like...
This is great advertisement for these establishments. Just take notes, people. Do not go here during the off... You know what's probably funnier? They're probably more prepared during the hot summer July months than they are now.
I think they thought, like, oh, it's just another weekend here. They didn't think tourists were going to come down for New Year's because it was on a Tuesday. But, man, people came in droves. Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday was packed at the beach.
It was busy there, huh?
Yeah, it was really busy. So, wow. So everybody's, like, on the edge of their seat.
It was warm.
It was.
Did you go to the beach?
Of course, I went to the beach every morning, but New Year's Day, not how I wanted to start 2019. I was playing with my dog, and I threw a toy into the ocean. He went to go get it, and he got excited, pushed into me when I didn't see him, and your boy took a dip in the Atlantic Ocean to start his day at 2019, 7 a.m., fully drenched in my jeans and my hoodie and everything. In the water, mouth full of salt water.
I'm laughing with you. That's great.
I was just like, all right, that's how I'm starting my year. I'm going back home, getting warm. That's it. So anyway, so back to the game. The place is like on the edge of their seat. Everybody's going crazy. I wish I was filming at this point. I wish I was on Facebook Live, because when Mosley reached up and grabbed that ball, that place went bananas.
I bet.
I've been in places before, like, you know, you and I were at Silver Spring for the Mile High Miracle. You know, I was at Jimmy Seafood when the Caps won the Stanley Cup. This place went ballistic. I mean, the floor shook, the building was shaking. It was such a great environment, and everybody's high-fiving, everybody's doing Seven Nation Army. It was such a good time. That's why these big games, you have to be around people. You gotta go out, you gotta rock it out with your friends, and you gotta make friends. These games are so much more fun to be around just a group of people. it was an absolute blast. Yes, they ran out of wings and orange juice, but didn't put a damper on my day. The Ravens still are the AFC North champions, and it was an absolute blast to watch. It was so much fun. The place was just going crazy. And then to see the footage of the Steeler players walk off
priceless.
The field.
Priceless.
Even better.
Priceless. Man, that's great, isn't it? And not only that, but they're imploding, man. Like, you thought Bell had something up. Like, we thought we were getting on Bell's case. Dude, the guy knew something was up.
That's
Why do you think he was holding out? Because look at their mess. Now, Brown might be traded, and Ben's man, it's drama Queen City. And we cover it a few weeks ago. Like, oh, Harbaugh might be parting ways with the Ravens mutually, all that. And is Harbaugh lost the locker room? Well, it looks like Tomlin lost his locker room, because that's what it looks like, folks. That's what a coach in a hot seat looks like. If you want to know what a mess that is, go watch all that unfold. It's just like watching Mari on the afternoon, because it's ridiculous.
You are not the coach.
Oh, thank God. I can rejoice, but no, man. But Harbaugh is our coach, and after the game, man, he took it to another great locker room speech, and the guy's on to something, man. And that's what I want to talk about. Like, everybody loves or hate him. You know what? I don't care, you know, and I'm just going to share this from my heart because it's memorable, but this is, I think, why I love Harbaugh so much, because he's kind of like my coach. And what I mean by that is, you know, there's been choice things said. Some people love the guy, and some people are like, oh, I can't wait to get rid of him. That's your opinion, you know. But some memorable speeches of his that will go down in history for me personally that touch me, just like Ray's speeches. And it's something he had a speech reaching back all the way to the Super Bowl year in 2012 when we were home against the Giants and we beat them to win the AFC North the last time. He had a great speech. It's on YouTube. It's actually on America's Game, I believe, on that DVD, or if you have that. So that's on there. But the whole lion spike thing, chasing the lion, and that story. And he gave the lion spike to C.J. Mosley. If you don't know what that's about, it was on Harbaugh's press conference the following day. He talked about why he did what he did. But the guy makes it memorable, and he always relates a story. It's always something about military or about, like, the Navy SEALs. Good, the good story, the whole good chant was the Navy SEALs. So, I mean, that's one of the best locker room rants I've ever seen. So it's just, to me, he's my coach. I'm really hoping he gets extended. I know there's reports now coming out, even though we're a playoff team, that he might not sign it. There could be a Flacco move where he could bet on himself, play out the existing contract, and say, hey, pay me. Who knows, man? But whatever happens, I'm happy he's our coach right now. And he could be a coach of your candidate, sure. But, dude, taking this team for, and I know it wasn't all him, but obviously he's the guy at the top. You know, but doing a great, and he had to make the choice, right? When Flacco came back healthy, he had a choice to make. He could have went back to Joe and handed him back the ball, said, you're the guy. But he stuck with Lamar. He stuck with what was working. And look where we're at now. So it's incredible. It's a credible story. I've always liked him. And, hey, it could be a mess like up here in Pittsburgh. But thankfully, we're not. It's just icing on the cake. We're watching them implode as we get ready for a football game on Sunday. The bank's going to be rocking. I can't wait. I know some people who are going to get their first taste of playoff action in person. Can't wait to savor that moment with all of them. And I might not be able to sleep Saturday night. I mean, this is what we do. Home playoff game. I think that's why I got emotional as well. Even if we were succeeding, got in, I still probably would have. You know, but I think that was a lot more because, as me personally, I wanted that because I have season tickets and I knew I had a guaranteed ticket to that game. I wanted it. So I think when it happened, I was rejoicing so much because I knew that I kept saying, like, home playoff game, we could be here next week. Like, I want it. And I remember the first ever playoff game I was at, and I'll never touch it, but it was Ray's last game. And this is the second home playoff game I've ever been at, and I went to two on the road. So I've actually been more on the road than I have at home. So I think it meant a lot more to me because I love being there and then with that environment. Like, dude, the environment, like you said, with that, like, you have to be around people when it's these big games and at the bars and everybody jumping in and down. It was like at the stadium. We were hooked on every play, every incomplete pass, high-fiving when the Browns dropped it, you know, whatever, high-fiving and first down. I'm more animated. I'm getting up. It's just, I mean, I was hoarse by halftime. So, you know, I'm always hoarse by halftime, but I was gone. So, but, dude, what a season. I've always said it's bittersweet. We've already went through 17 weeks, but, dude, ain't nothing bigger than this weekend, right, brother?
That's right. And like you said, people are getting a taste of playoff football, you know, beginning this weekend. You got to go over to our Facebook page because Baltimore restaurants are going nuts with their promotion for the Ravens. Let me tell you, Josh, if you didn't just look on our
Facebook
page.
They better not run out of food.
On this side of the town,
hey, I don't know about Ocean City, but on this side of the shore, we get it over here.
That's right. But if
I don't think Jimmy's would ever run out of crab cakes. Oh my God, dude. Imagine that.
Mutiny if that happened.
Dude, no mutiny. I think the whole state might riot.
That's right. But so if you go over our Facebook page, we've been sharing some different places. Towson Hot Bagels, they're doing purple bagels this weekend. Plug Uglies in Canton, they're doing purple waffles, and they posted a picture of them. We shared it on our Facebook page just now. You have to go check out that picture. If you're in town, you got to try this out. But, man, this one, It's got to be on your list of places to try. Miss Shirley's Cafe.
Yes.
They're doing Eric Weddle's playoff pancakes. Now, listen to these, all right? I'm just going to...
Is there ice cream?
Listen to this. It's crazy. Buttermilk pancakes topped with fresh blackberries and white chocolate chips topped with purple whipped cream, garnished with purple cream cheese icing, powdered sugar, black and purple sprinkles. That's just insane.
You lost me at sprinkles. I'm in.
You got to look at this picture of this stack of pancakes. It's insane.
Well, if anything, it's like Eric Weddle's ice cream bowls. I'm sure it looks like a really good time to eat. That's all I got to say. Hey, Dan, I heard he wanted to get some ice cream truck or something. I don't know what was up with that.
Something like that. But the whole town.
Eric Weddle fed for at the playoffs.
the whole town's going nuts right now. They've got stuff going on at the stadium. They're doing spray painting on your car. There's purple pep rallies with the playmakers, and then restaurants are going out and doing all kinds of purple food that you can check out. I mean, the town has missed this feeling, you can tell, but just some of the options, if you're a local, my God, anywhere you go, you're going to get something purple to eat, and that's awesome. But the big thing, you know, what we got to worry about, the big dinner, the big one, is this Sunday against the Chargers at M&T Bank Stadium. I know you're going to be there, but let's talk about this game. We've been talking about the past. We've been talking about what we've been doing. Let's talk about the game. The Ravens and the Chargers, they met just a few weeks ago, and we said one of the advantages of Lamar Jackson this time the fact that he's the starter, there wasn't a lot of tape on him. He was kind of unproven. A lot of people didn't know what to do with him. But the Chargers actually have an advantage right now because they faced Lamar before. They have a little bit of experience against him. So how are the Ravens going to prepare to use Lamar and to, you know, what are they going to do offensively for a team that already knows some of his skills and what he does?
Well, I feel like definitely they got to change up the game plan. I feel like they cannot come out and run the same thing. I mean, even some of the players and coaches acknowledge that, hey, the Chargers can come out and just run their game, the same game plan, and say, here, we're going to just do it again anyway, stop it. But I feel like the Ravens, they're definitely going to be heavy on that film, especially because it's their opponent now. There's no next week. You win, you move on. You can kind of know who your opponent might be, but it's not a set schedule because there's one of two opponents you could be facing. So it ain't like, oh, well, next week's week five and we got the Bears or whatever they got. No, it's this opponent. So they're going to be really focusing on that Saturday night game film and other film, obviously. But the Ravens really can't give them the same look. I feel like, especially with running the ball, Lamar's done well this year, as we know, run heavy, all that. But Lamar Jackson as a quarterback under center this year in these seven games, he had his lowest output against the Chargers with only 39 yards rushing. And the team, I felt like as a whole, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think they only had like 160 yards rushing as a team, which is the lowest output in that run. So the Chargers did well, but that also forced the Ravens to really feature the passing game. And see, here's the other side of it. Now, this is what's exciting to talk about. And then you always get on Lamar throwing the football, you guys. Well, he had his lowest total right now as a starter rushing the ball because that's what he does. He is a runner. But he also had his career high in passing yards against these same Chargers with 204 yards, I believe. And he threw a big, big, big touchdown to Mark Andrews, where it was redemption from the Raiders game, where Mark actually did the stiff arm and didn't turn around, and he ran right to the end zone, which he's supposed to do. And Lamar featured his arm. It was a great play. It was one of his run fakes. He stepped back in a pocket with a flick of the wrist, it was gone, and it was a great, great play. Couldn't believe it. But that's another thing. You know, you shut down the run. What they're going to do is they're going to look to contain Lamar, not let him get outside, and they're going to force him to be a pocket passer. But again, being that the stats are right there, everybody can read them. He had 39 rushing, 204 yards passing. So he's shown the ability to do it. And these receivers, he's done it before. He'll do it again. That's what's got to happen. And then with the defense doing what they do best, finishing the league at number one, I feel like they got to put the pressure on, because that was another thing. The first play from scrimmage of this game was an interception by Brandon Carr, and it set the tone. The Ravens are like, all right, you're not going to throw on us. Turn around, snagged it out of the air, and it was a turnover. And I feel like that's a big key, is the Ravens got to keep applying pressure. How many times have we said, oh, they played pre prevent defense, or they didn't rush enough, or they didn't do this. Dude, they were in Rivers' wheelhouse all night long, and he was still getting frustrated. You thought Brady was playing against them because he was just whining and griping, and no, they're doing this, they're doing that. Yeah, because you get whacked, you know? That's what big defenses do. They hit you in the mouth, and with these kind of finesse teams, they don't like that too much. It got him off his game. And you've seen what happened, and the rest is history. But the Ravens, I mean, apart from that fumble, it was 16-10. The scoreboard doesn't do justice. They won 22-10 in great fashion. But what's really telling is how the Ravens did it. They really clamped down on the Chargers. They didn't let them really do anything offensively. And being that it's our house now, and I know it was on the road, but it was in front of half the fans that they're going to be in front of. But this time, it's on our turf, and the fans are ours, not theirs. And it's a road, and the way the environment was this past weekend, it's going to be turned up to level 52 on Sunday because, man, it's going to be charged up and ready to go. But I think that's what it is. But there's one thing I really wanted to hone in on that matchup is what frustrated me to this, even though it was a win. You can be critical in wins and losses because there's always something to improve on, right? But what I saw during the game was a team that didn't finish, that didn't put that proverbial nail in their coffin. They didn't do it. How many times that we got to say finish, and the turning point of that game was on that third and goal. Dude, they were on like the 1 foot line, right? And Lamar sent the ball. He thought it was a touchdown. Oh, they're up 20 points. They're done. Can't do anything. It's 27-7. Nope. Fumble. Luckily, the whistles blew. If not, they would have had a touchdown the other way. It was a fumble. They didn't get it. They were 1-for-4. Remember way back this year where the Ravens were like, what, like 13-for-13 on the first so many trips in the resident or something like that? Wasn't it? Back in the day?
Yeah.
Yeah. So long are the days, I know that was under Joe, but long are the days of that killer instinct where the Ravens would get it inside that 20 and you knew 6 was going on the board tacked on by that extra with Tucker. You knew it was 6-7 every time. The Ravens are 1-for-4 on red zone trips, so in touchdowns. So when you get 7, 10, 13, so they had 16 of the 26 points in the red zone. Okay, well, you convert half of those into touchdowns, it's game over. That's 14 more points. They won the game by 2. You could have won the game by 15, 17 points at that point. So even if you score touchdowns on all 4, that's 28 points, Brandon. So that's where I feel like the killer instinct's got to happen. This game could have been long ago where it couldn't come down to a 4th down. They could have just curb stomped them. End of story. But they've had that identity for a long time, no matter who's under center or who's orchestrating the offense or coordinator. Don't matter. How many times did they lack that killer instinct? Happened this year. You know, they were down. It even happened earlier this year before Lamar even sniffed the field. You know, Joe Flacco was quarterback and Alex Collins was under center. Alex Collins went to go try to punch in the end zone. And he fumbled on the goal line. And can't do that. And it led to the touchdown against the enemy the other way. Can't do that. You got to punch it in. And yeah, they were fortunate to win it. They won it. It's a moot point. We got a home playoff game this Sunday. And the story, it's in the books. Can't change it. But again, guys, I got to finish in the red zone, especially when you get it right there on 1 foot. I can grant if you're on the 19 and it's third and goal or you're fifth or whatever, third and too long, I don't care. But when you get that close, punch it in. What frustrated me is and again, it's play calling. And the players got to execute, Brandon, but the first play call, if you remember, if it would have been a bootleg, Lamar would have ran straight in, untouched, and that would have been his third. And then another thing, the game could have been iced away because Lamar ran it for a third time. He could have had his third rushing touchdown, which was an incredible athletic play, but Max Williams was called, and I know Harbaugh even said in the post game he's going to submit that one for the league. So we don't really know if it was holding or not, but the fact that remains is that was called back. That was another touchdown was taken off the board, so they had one there, and they had to settle for 3 after that. And another thing about this game is they can't do what they did just past against the Browns. What they can't do against the Chargers is Marty got lazy play calling. They had that series right before they gave it back to the Browns, and they called 3 straight plays, and it was the same formation. And then they tried some stupid option play with Ty Montgomery and ended up being a loss. Could have been a fumble. It was a mess. And I'm like, they got away from what was working, and they got safe there. Luckily, the defense bailed him out, but they played it too safe instead of playing it killer. I don't know if it was Marty being conservative because it was Lamar. I don't know what they were doing, if they were trying to control the clock and getting cute. But there were some concerns. Again, red zone offense and showing him different looks. But I feel like the passing game had a lot more success against this Chargers defense a couple weeks ago. And then the other thing is, and you alluded to it earlier, this is the first team that's going to have that second look at this Lamar Jackson offense, because nothing hasn't stopped it yet. No one's figured it out, but granted, they've only seen him once as their opponent. And if all plays well, looking ahead, they could play a familiar opponent again. So we could be covering the same exact scenario. Who knows? But right now, the Chargers and Ravens are very familiar. The Chargers have this taste in their mouth of this loss very fresh. I mean, what was it? We're recording this. It was like 13, 14 days ago. I mean, it'll be a week from 2 weeks from Saturday. Not even removed. Not even that. So, not even a week. So, it'll be 2 weeks. So, I feel like the Ravens, they know it's at stake, but I feel like they just can't get that predictable, slow offense. They got to keep, I mean, they have to match the defense's intensity, right? The offense has been there. It's been explosive with the running game, but you seen what they did against the Browns. I know we're not playing the Browns no more, but the Ravens amassed just about 300 yards rushing. That's surprising, and I know they got shaken in the passing game, but a lot of those yards that they gave up to Baker's offense was big plays. How many big passes? It was like third and long, and they had like a 40-yard bomb down the sideline. I mean, what they did is the Ravens defense contained big plays from the Chargers, and they had a big play from the offense, and then a big, even a bigger play on the defense with the fumble six to Avon Young. So I think this is going to be another closely contested game. It's going to be one for the ages again because of the rematch. It's at our house. We knew it was probably going to come, but this is where I love the NFL with rewarding the teams who won their divisions, because there's been talk already that, oh, you have a 12-win team already traveling on the road against a 10-win team. Well, because the Chargers had some competition in their division with the Chiefs got edged with the same record, but they beat them with the number one overall seed. But Brandon, that's how bad or how big that game was a few weeks ago, because the Ravens would have lost that game. Obviously, they wouldn't have been in the playoffs right now, but the Chargers would have been the number one seed. So that's why I feel like the Ravens are really hot right now and they're thriving, because they've been playing playoff football pretty much ever since, you know, Joe got hurt in the bye week, because they couldn't afford errors because they had that 3-game losing. They were 4-2 at one point, man. And you got a 3-game losing streak, you end up 4-5. So because of that 3-game slide, their window for margin of error was very, very razor thin. And it's so thin of it all is the loss to the Chiefs was pretty much it. I mean, yeah, the Steelers helped them a little bit because they lost to the Raiders and they lost to the Saints. Granted, they beat the Patriots, which the Patriots didn't show up. But I feel like that could have been another win. It wouldn't have been a me point. But the Steelers, man, at one point, they were 7-2-1. It's insane. The Ravens were 4-5. When the Steelers beat the Ravens, they had a 2.5 game lead in the AFC North with 2 months left of football, or just under that, and evaporated. So Ravens did their part by keep winning. The Steelers had a slide. They shifted a little bit, but the Ravens really have a familiar opponent in front of them, and this is all or nothing. Win or go home. It's playoffs. Wild card game. Division is ours. We got it. But it doesn't mean nothing unless you actually do something with it. And like Lamar said, Lamar's birthday is Monday. Following the game, and like he said, he wants to taste that victory for his birthday. He can almost taste it. But his interviews are special, man. If you ever watched them, you ever watched his interviews?
I have, yeah. I've seen his post game stuff.
Yeah, I love him, man. It's just he just seems like he's really laid back. But he's a kid, he's 21 years old, but he's a rookie. But he just the way, and I still feel like he carries himself well. He interviews well. He knows there's a stake. Like someone asked him, like, are you know, like, what are you about this game? And like he said, like, nothing's changed except my clothes. He's a character. And he's being funny but honest. But he's like, right, like, this is another game to me. I'm going out. I'm going to go play. And he's not, you know, he's not getting hyped. Like, man, I made the playoffs. And he's not getting all wide eyed and bushy. He's not really showing that excitement. Like, oh my god, and he hasn't been rattled much. So I don't think nothing really rattles him right now. So the Ravens they're right there, man. Everything's right there for the taking. The AFC, as I recall it, has never been more wide open right now with teams. But I have to hand it to you, man. It's just we never thought we'd be here, but the Chargers will look to have that redemption, man. And if the Chargers start fast, it's going to be a long day. And the thing about it is, man, is Lamar hasn't – we haven't seen Lamar play from behind, right? So the largest deficit Lamar's had to play with is an 8-point deficit, and I believe that was against the Chiefs, if I recall. So I could be wrong there. So if I just – memory serves right there, I'm going to say this right now, okay? Play it because playoffs, do or die. You don't advance unless you win the game. You got. I don't care if they gain more yards. We just need to score more points. But I'm telling you right now, the Ravens get down by that 10 to 14 point range. I would not be shocked if Harbaugh did. And I'm going to say the unthinkable right now. Ready for it? Put Flacco in the game. I would not be surprised because I just don't know with that pressure and with that poise. If I'm ready to see Lamar do it yet, I guess because we haven't seen it. No one's seen it, not including me. So we've seen him come from behind and with a tie game and put us up 7, obviously in Arrowhead with a minute left on the clock. So you knew he's capable of doing that, but that was a tied game. He hasn't had to do a game-winning drive, hasn't had to it's 2-minute drill. Remember at times, you know, January Joe had the least down the field. So it's, you know, and that's the thing is – I wanted to tie all that together by – it's a little weird, man, playing January football and not having January Joe when he's on the roster healthy and ready to go. So it's definitely something that will be missed around here because, hey, 10-5 playoff record, he's got it. But, you know, right now you can't. You can't make that switch unless I feel like the Ravens are down and they don't feel like Lamar can do it with his arm and put Joe in for that infusion. But then, I mean, right now you got to play at all hands cost. It's like this. It's like – the way I equate it to what baseball does with managers in Game 7, they empty their bullpen. They even put all their starters out there and say, hey, you're coming out of the bullpen, and we need all hands on deck for this one because you can't – there's no other game after that. So I wouldn't be surprised if Flacco actually would get used in any situation. I mean, I don't think they would, but I'm just saying, hey – it's playoffs. You got to pull all the stops to advance and give them everything they got and then some. But I feel like the Ravens, they're going to do it. And another note, though, just looking at my notes here, did you notice a difference on that last drive versus what they did against Cincinnati a year ago?
I mean, the Ravens looked like they were a little bit more inspired and looked like they were more well rested. They didn't look tired like they had been in the last 2 years.
Well, right, right. Well, we know because of the time of possession dominance, keeping the defense healthy, and that's another thing. This offense is being ball control. It's unconventional to the passing league. It's a passing league. But the Ravens are winning with running and defense, and I absolutely am in love with this thing right now because that's been the Ravens' mantra for a while, and that's, I love it because it's everybody's throwing for 400 or 500 yards but losing games left and right, and the Ravens they're only throwing for a couple hundred a game, but they're running everywhere, and they're stopping you with this defense. But I wanted to bring that up by saying the Ravens were in cover zero for 4 straight plays. That's unheard of, right?
Yeah.
So they didn't do that whole prevent defense. How many times do we say prevent you from winning, right? Because you sit back, and you let them sit in the zone, and they pick you apart. I mean, dude, there was over a minute left on the clock against the Browns with one timeout in the Browns' pocket. That was eternity, and they were within like 10 yards of field goal range at least. And this is why Justin Tucker is an X factor for the Ravens because – if they had Tucker on their sidelines, they probably would line up for a 57-yard field goal to win it. And I'm actually happy that they didn't do it because I was surprised they didn't. But I feel like with their kicker, he didn't have the range. That's why Greg Williams went for it. But they had a lot of time left in the timeout in their pocket. Remains to be seen. But the Ravens, in Don Mardale's defense there, they applied the pressure when they needed it. Instead of sitting back there in a zone and trying to, you know, double team some receivers and not pressure Mayfield. Mayfield's a rookie. Make him beat you. I mean, I would have more respect for the Ravens if they did that. Went down swinging and they brought all of them, and then Baker threw it over them and made a play, and a receiver caught the ball and they went down and scored. I mean, yeah, it would suck. The Ravens would have lost them in the playoffs, but I would have had more respect for them than just sitting back and, oh, I dare you to throw it. No. Send them all, pin your ears back and say, you're not, this is our house. We're going to dare you. We're going to come after you and then some. And that's what they did. For 4 straight plays, they brought the heat and they brought the house. And that's how you close out a game. And I couldn't be more proud to stand up and applaud that effort. That's what we're talking about. I think Tony Romo said it. He was coming to our game and he said, they weren't gonna have a repeat of last year. They sat back and watched the Bengals go down the field and didn't cover Tyler Boyd, and watching that play, it was a zoom. Brandon, it was a zone. Somebody was out of place, whether it was Weddle or I don't know who was on that side of the field, but it was a zone coverage, and he found a hole in the zone, caught the ball, and ran it all the way in. The Ravens are like, yeah, okay, we're just going to play cover zero. We're going to man up, and we're going to blitz, and we're going to dare you. And it reminded me of the way they closed out Super Bowl 47, because they gave Kaepernick the same look. Every time they went back to pass, I mean, hey, if Kaepernick didn't even throw it on the fourth down play in the Super Bowl, he would have gotten rocked. So, same with Baker. You know, Weddle came in unblocked, and he just got clipped, but Baker already had the ball out of his hands on the way to throw it, but that's why he got picked off by Mosley. But that's the thing I'm talking about. They applied the pressure, and they were the more aggressive. And yeah, the Ravens didn't have that killer instinct on them on offense with the red zone, but that's where the defense said, you know what? You guys did enough. We got you with the 2-point lead and with the city, as Tony Romo alluded to, with the city on their backs pretty much. And they just said, you know what? We're going to do it differently this year. And they showed it. And that's the thing I'm talking about. They bring that killer instinct into the Chiefs, or not Chiefs, into the Chargers or any other opponent that might be playing in the playoffs if they get past the Chargers. They bring that. Defense travels, running game travels, that swagger travels. This team right now, it could be special, but for right now, they got a special matchup against the Chargers at M&T Bank Stadium, 1 o'clock Sunday with a wild card bout, and we got to defend the North. We won the North, or Kings of the North, but don't mean unless you defend it, and the Ravens have never really, to my knowledge, have been that one-and-done team. They have always at least, other than 2003, they were one-and-done. In 2006, they were 1-and-done, but the other times they made the playoffs, they've won at least one game. And I feel like, hey, he could start. DeMar can get his first playoff winner's belt. Harbaugh can get number 11, and that would be fantastic. And let's do it. And obviously, what it goes about being saying, I would like to hear you. But this is it. It's playoffs. It's Ravens playoffs. I'm predicting a huge win in this one. Don't even matter at this point. Got to win them. There's no tomorrow. There's no next game we got to cover. No more Purple Fridays unless you win. No more food places, purple food, lack thereof in Ocean City. And they got to be prepared for another playoff game. But yeah, man, it's I couldn't be more tickled to death right now with the way things have fallen for this team. But it's just great for the city, the fans. Again, for everybody, again, there's probably still stuff we didn't probably touch on to cover, but it's just special, and I'm just in here along for the ride and enjoying every moment of it. You know, love them or hate them, you know, they frustrate us sometimes, but let's all come together as one, and let's the Ravens flock do what they need to do best and root this team hard, right?
That's right. You got to root them hard. You got to showcase all your purple pride on Purple Friday and the whole purple weekend. I also think the Ravens will be coming away with a win this Sunday. I'm super excited to watch the game. I think also another factor you didn't bring up, though, is the crowd on Sunday. I mean, everybody was talking about how loud everybody was against Cleveland. Tony Jefferson said he's never played in front of a crowd like that before. The bank is going to be packed. LA Chargers aren't going to know what hit them. I mean, let's be honest, they're not really used to playing in front of a very large crowd. So
I wasn't going to say
it. Yeah, exactly. They're not going to know what to do. Plus, they have the flight coming over from LA, and it's going to be a little bit colder here than it is in LA. So
a lot of negatives.
Yeah. So I mean, they're not used to that kind of weather. We saw what happened with Peyton Manning whenever he would play in the cold. He didn't like it. He never performed well. So
he lost 44-0 in a playoff game once. Mm. In the cold.
So it's all going the Ravens' way. I mean, the Ravens love to be the underdogs, but right now it doesn't really feel like they are. That might just be my Raven fandom coming out, but we'll see what happens on Sunday. So, Josh, have we covered everything for this Purple Friday playoff preview?
I love hearing that, Brandon, and I'm going to give a resounding, loud playoff quote the Raven, nevermore.
All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at ItalianGQ52.
Now, we do the show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Vero and Twitch, anywhere you are social, on the web with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call, and you should too. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Josh, take us out. Get us ready for those pesky Chargers. The only Charger I want to worry about is the one from my phone. So get us ready for this game on Sunday.
Absolutely, Brandon. And I have to definitely the news broke a couple hours ago before the show. But we put up in the call Facebook. But Brandon, man, have to give a great congratulations to the one and only great 20, Reed. He is a finalist for the Hall of Fame this year.
Are you booking your tickets already?
Oh, dude, I've already had them eyed up, and I'm probably going to get them since now he's a finalist. I'm probably – because, see, I could have bought him already, the package, but what could happen is, you know, he might not get it in a month, but now he's a finalist. I'm pretty sure he has a lock, so probably going to see me in Canton again for the second straight year to root him on. Probably. I'm just saying a hunch, but I'll be out there as well. Can't wait to it all, but, man, doesn't it feel great calling it a Purple Friday playoff preview, and the key word is playoffs. Who would have thought? I know we keep alluding to it. It's just surreal. A 2 month turnaround, and you're like, really? Oh, I mean, just think about it. Just as a season in review, really quickly, if I could just, you know, go back. I mean, week one, we won 47-3. You thought we were world beaters, and it was the Bills on a rainy day. But you're like, oh, you're sitting starters in the third quarter, man. It was great. This is what it feels like to be a Patriots fan, I guess, right? You know, you're beating people and you're winning, and but then, you know, as you got into the season, it's like, okay. And then I remember, you know, you beat the Steelers on Sunday night. Oh, you know, Weddle, gosh dang it, these ain't your same Ravens and him. And then all of a sudden, you know, you lay an egg, you lose, then you go, and then you do an unthinkable. You shut out the Titans 21-0 and have an 11-sack performance, set a franchise record. It was absolutely insane. You clamped them down, and then you had the three-game losing streak, losing to the Steelers, you know, losing to, you know, the Saints, and that crazy kick with Tucker missing his first extra point, and the wind took it. Could have went to overtime. Joe Flacco is down the field. Touchdown to John Brown. Everybody's going crazy. And then the news gets heard on the bye week that Flacco's hurt, and it could be more serious than we thought. And we're like, really? See that coming. And then, oh, Lamar starts number one. Oh, Joe will be back next week. Lamar starts number two. Joe will be back. No, he won't. He's not healthy yet. Lamar starts number three. He's won three in a row. Oh, what's going to happen? So, and here we go. Who would have thought that the Ravens would have been in this position, coupled by a slow burn over there in Pittsburgh, and end up igniting the fuse that they imploded? And all it took was just basically a little Ravens AFC North victory to really get things going up there. And, telling you, we thought it was, you know, we thought maybe Pittsburgh fans worse. Hey, telling you, it's dire straits up there, but you got to enjoy it. Got, and that makes it sweeter, guys. It makes it that much sweeter because they're all in turmoil. All pros might get traded, and the team blowing up, and they didn't make the playoffs, and then here we are, just preparing for a little thing called a playoff game down in Charm City, and with that, AFC North champions in the right. Haven't done it since 2012. It's been a long time, and I feel like we can be kings of the North this year, and a few more years to come. You know, the future is bright for this team. You got some young stars. The rookies making an impact. How about Lamar? How about Orlando Brown Jr.? How about Mark Andrews? And doing what they're doing right now. And the draft class this year is making a huge impact that it's for years to come on this team. And right now, the 2018 squad is looking bright. And they have a home playoff game on the horizon. It's going to be incredible. I really can't wait. It's like every day it goes by. It's like, come on. Playoff football in Baltimore. We've been craving for it for the last 4 years. We finally got it. We missed it the last three. Been on the cusp. been on that cusp of the heartbreak and on that losing end, but this time it was like Brandon said, hugging everybody, slapping high fives, rejoicing. I don't care if they ran out of food or not. I'm sure there's food somewhere to celebrate with. But I'm ready. I've been ready since the game ended, and I'm like, I've told my friends, I said, can I just sit here in my same seat, just wait till next Sunday? I don't care. Like, I was like, I didn't want to leave, but I knew I was going to be back a week later and cheering this team hard. And it could be what could be the last game in the stadium until September. But hey, turn the page. We're actually playing January football. We're playing football in 2019, and we don't have to wait till preseason to do it, guys. Here it is, 2019 playoffs. Ravens, Chargers, are we ready? Oh, I know we're ready. Let's bring the heat, put out these bolts. Baltimore Ravens, playoffs. Let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.